This week on Barbell Shrug, we talk about the past, present, and future of CrossFit, and the history of training and competition, and we bring up old, dirty stories.
Hey, this is Rich Froning. You're listening to Barbell Shrugged. For the video version, go to barbellshrugged.com.
2007 CrossFit Games, the workouts.
The volume. One training session.
Wait a minute, what?
That's like a single training session now.
Is that for real?
Yeah, it's a three events.
2007 CrossFit Games.
That's seriously?
Are you serious?
Yeah, man. It went from
what?
It went from 2008 to having three events, and then 2009 all the
crushing
everybody had a dump taken on
Nico
them.
Salo winning everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
This looks like some shit that would be published on like a Saturday workout at the North.
I know, I know. Even the general pop now, it's a lot of stuff.
What?
So.
That's funny.
Yeah. What's up, guys? Welcome to Barbell Shrug. I'm your host, Mike McGoldrick, here with Mike McElroy.
What's happening?
He's holding the phone. We got Kurt Mulliken.
Hey.
Down boy. And Alex Macklin.
Yo.
Yep. Today we're going to talk a little bit about, you know what, it's a little bit different format. I'm pretty excited about this. We had this idea earlier as we were reminiscing. I pulled out my old red Nanos. Rewind that. Pulled out my old red Innovates. I thought, man, like, what a cool idea. We should talk about how much the community, the sport, and the fitness world of CrossFit has actually changed from when it all started and when we all came into it. So we're going to talk a little bit about our individual experiences through starting it and finding out about it, as well as competition, and then how it's changed to where it's at today, and then where we see it going in the future.
Yep.
So starting back with that, some of the funny stories I like to think of are like some of the old things that we almost forgot about, like Vibrams when they came on the scene big time. Like people still wear Vibrams and they're cool, but like everyone wanted them, you know?
Yeah.
It was like Vibrams and Innovates were like the Nanos now.
The less shoe, the better.
Yeah, for sure.
Everything was barefoot.
Yeah.
If you weren't, because that wasn't paleo.
Right.
You know, if you didn't snatch barefoot, well, you're not using your feet.
Minimalist.
Muscles. You're not improving your ankle mobility by doing.
So let's start with like when everybody started. When and how?
I found out in 2008, I think. Yeah, 2008. I was in college still, and I actually heard about CrossFit through my buddy, who's a trainer, and we were doing the Jim Jones, the 300 workout, when that came out. And I remember thinking, like, man, it's like all these like movements that we do, but it's like really fast and intense. And like at the time, I was starting to kind of discover that I was getting a little out of shape. I was like getting stronger, but I wasn't running or doing anything else. Wasn't doing any cardio with it. And we discovered this, and once a week, we're like, we'll do this once a week, and we'll see how far we can get until we throw up. And it literally was like that. Like I would get probably, you know, like if you don't know the Jim Jones workout, it was it 30 of everything?
It's 50 of everything.
It was 30 or 50. I can't remember. But it was like 10 movements. It was almost like a filthy 50. Anyways, like 10 movements. You did like 30 of all of them. It was like a long chipper. And I remember getting like 7 movements in and like that, I have to go to the bathroom. Like the next week, I would get like halfway through the seven movements. And it was like a little bit further each week. But it was like I was scared to do it. But at the same time, I was like, man, I love it. Like I can't wait to do it.
Yeah, your nickname back in the day, I remember, was Puking Mike.
Man, I don't know why. Really? I don't know if it was like, man. It took forever. For a year straight, every intense workout I did, I was throwing up. Yeah, all my boys back in CrossFit Murfreesboro, they remember. They gave me that nickname.
Puking Mike.
I would come in and it was just batshit crazy. I would hit every workout literally as hard as I absolutely could. Did you pull up the workout?
25 pull-ups, 50 deadlifts at 135, 50 push-ups, 50 box jumps, 50 floor wipers, 50 kettlebell clean and press, and 25 pull-ups.
Oh, yeah. So I think
300 reps.
I think my first time, I remember trying to do the box jumps. Man, I was cheating them. And the 50 floor wipers. I remember the dude would hold 135,
yeah, hold 135
and you would let your legs fall to the left and right.
Yeah, like
and it was just like, I was like, flop, flop, flop. That's about where I started getting sick. Yeah, so that led me into, like, I guess, functional fitness training, where I was like, man, you know, you can lift and sweat and breathe hard. And I discovered CrossFit through that.
Yeah, so I was a golfer. I worked out, but I was like your typical – only do upper body, and said I ran for my legs, but I didn't run for my legs either. So I started back in 2005.
Oh,
OG. I was in college.
You're OG.
So,
you're OG shit.
I would like come into the gym at the school and like throw my rings over the pull up rig and just like look at everybody like, I'm better than you. Do handstand push ups on the wall, and like people would get trainers be like, oh, you can't do that in here.
Got dirt on my wall,
but,
bro.
Yeah, the first time I maxed out on bench or on back squat and deadlift, my bench press max was 280. My back squat and deadlift were 225. That's how balanced I was.
Oh, man.
Yeah, back then, everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, back then, everybody who did CrossFit, it was like, yeah, I am better than you. I'm sitting there doing gymnastics and I'm lifting. You are not.
Such an elitist.
Yeah, it was very elitist back. I feel like way more so than it is now.
Yeah.
I didn't really lift. I remember when I first started CrossFit, this was early 2009. I had heard about it in 2008, and we got so into the whole like Metcon thing. I was training in a Globo gym, super small weight room or whatever, and I remember looking at this guy kind of new from the gym. He was doing bar muscle ups one day, and I was like, what a douche. And I'm over here doing like curls, you know.
Oh, yeah. Man, I remember the first time I ever saw someone do a bar muscle up.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was like, what the hell is this guy doing? Yeah. And you know, it's funny. That's who I train with still today, like years later. But this is my buddy Brian.
He's a special douche.
Yeah. I finally asked him, you know, what the hell he was doing. And so we ended up getting together, and then we tried this workout. And it was wall balls and push-ups. It was 50, 40, 30, 20, 10. Of course, I was, like, benching and stuff at the time, and I was like, yeah, dude, it's only 20 pounds, man. And so I took my grape NO Explode, and I did, like, 20 wah balls and then just fucking yacked in a little paper wastebasket in front of all these people.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, it was awful.
Wait, so when did you start?
Early 2009.
2009. Yeah.
When did you start, Alex?
2010. So I guess I'm the least,
you're the youngest.
The newest.
Still got a few more years in you.
Well, McElroy's OG, man.
That's for sure.
Yeah, 2010. I just got started at Mike and Doug's place, CrossFit Memphis. This is just shithole of a.
I was your coach.
Oh yeah, you were. That's right. Yeah. Man, that place was a dump.
That was actually but that's the thing.
That was the second gym that I ever went to because there wasn't one in Mississippi yet. And when I heard about CrossFit Memphis, I went in there and I did. Mike was in there. I met him.
Well, funny story. Okay, so I have to tell this story because I don't think a lot of people know this story. But the way I got started was I partied a lot, so I was hanging out at the bar, and Doug was trying to get on this girl. So sorry, Marcy. Marcy's Doug's wife. He was trying to get on this girl, and we were at the bar, and I think I was talking a bunch of shit about CrossFit because I kind of looked into it because these two girls that I know that one of them Doug was trying to get on, like they were all about it, and I looked it up and I was talking all this shit, and then Doug was like, yeah, you should come out, you know, the next morning. So I come out the next day, and I walk in this place, all right, and it's all this heavy metal, death metal, rock music, and Bledsoe. I don't know if Bledsoe was there, but somebody else was like had the shaved head. I'm black, okay? So I walked in here. I'm like,
wait, you're black?
Yeah, I am black. But straight up, I thought, is this a skinhead? Am I gonna get fucking killed in here? Because that's what I thought. And then Doug shows up and he has me do this workout, and I'm like, yeah, I can do some pull-ups, and I just sit there and do like a round of Cindy. I didn't know at the time, but it was Cindy. I was like, all right, so that's it, right? And then and he's like, no, that's just the warm up. And then the rest of that, man. It was just, I did this one chipper wad, and it took me about 45 minutes, and it took everybody else like 10. And then I couldn't walk for like a week. But then I was like, all right, I'll do this. It sounds all right.
I thought you were going to tell me something funny. You're at the bar with Doug. I'm like, there's only two options with that conversation. He either talked to you very intelligently or he kicked you in the face.
Huh? Oh, no. He was very intelligent. And you know, he was like, yeah, come on in. He's very nice and professional. Because when I walked in, and I was glad I saw Doug because everybody else, I was like, I'm about to walk out the door.
Yeah, well, back then, nothing was nice and professional.
Chris Moore was in the back squatting 600 with chains.
Well, that was back. I was thinking about like when you brought friends in at that point. Like now, we're a little bit nicer to them, but back then it was like, come on, come try this out. We'll do 50-50.
Yeah,
and like that's where you start everybody with.
Destroy you.
Yeah. See how cool it is.
CrossFit gyms back then, they did not. It was not like a business like it is now. Like where CrossFit gyms are very, I feel like very professional, and you know, you go in and sign a waiver. I don't remember signing shit.
we were in my gym started in my parents' garage for the first six months, and that was like normal. Like it was. That was what you expected, either starting a garage or starting
much
a park
grassroots.
Or just do whatever.
I feel like that's how it was back then. It was like the dirtier and crappier your gym was, the worse your facilities, the you more don't have any bathrooms. Great, I like it here.
It was authentic.
Yeah, it's like how much should I pay here? $150? It's too cheap. Yeah. I want to pay $300 for this. it's like the worse it was, the better.
Yeah.
Now, like, not that there's anything wrong with that. It's definitely developed. You know, you've got competition now and standards have raised. But for sure, back then, every gym I went to, it was like a warehouse, car garage. It was something.
So let's talk about you brought up competition. So the first ever CrossFit competition, which is what we had pulled up here, the workouts were The first one they did, the repeat of it, when you were at the games in 2000, when was that? 2013. So the whole CrossFit Games, first one, 2007, was first event, 1,000-meter row, then five rounds of 25 pull-ups, seven push jerks, then a trail run, which is approximately a 5K, and then the that was day one. And then day two was back squat. Yeah, the CrossFit total, back squat, press, and deadlift one rep.
That was it?
And that was it.
So three events over 2 days?
Yep.
Oh, man.
And wow. So the top time for event one for that 1,000-meter row, which they pulled out of the hopper, if you mm-hmm. remember.
Yeah.
They had that hopper machine. They just had movements in there, and they twisted the
hopper
and pulled out movement. Mm-hmm. So they didn't know what they were going to do. And the top time was like 13:07, I think we just looked it up. And then the top time 3 years ago was like 8
yeah.
or something.
5 minutes like, faster. That's insane.
I think you're right. And you said I think every single competitor beat the top time of that year.
It was pretty close, at least. Yeah, that's insane. Yeah, the volume for sure. And
back at Aromas.
It went from like, and even the next year, 2008, it was still only 3 workouts, right? No, it was 4. They had 3 on one day and then 1 on the last day where they did the
long chipper.
The Grace.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, that was 2009 with the long chipper.
Yeah, with a squat clean.
Yeah.
But still, so 4 events over 2 days. And then when it got real was from 2008 to 2009.
Shit got real.
And everyone was blown away. That's like the year they talk about, like the death
volume.
Year.
Yeah.
Like
the volume. It was that and this past year. Are the two times they talk about like drastically changed.
In 2009, I think they had like, I want to say like 5 events on the first day. Mm-hmm. And there were 3 on the second. People were destroyed.
Like, that last chipper was tough.
Yeah, it was crazy, the volume.
Was that the row and we had to drive the stake in the ground?
That was cool. Yeah. That was cool. And then they did like a long run and a 1 rep max deadlift, you know, just like really simple, but it was just like lots of stuff. They did this. You hear, I didn't compete that year, but you'll hear Brandon Phillips talks about it all the time. One of the events, and anyone that did it that year will say like, the sandbag hill sprint they did
was the worst.
So if you haven't seen it, go back and check out that footage. It's pretty cool because it's like one of the one
every
and only times.
Counts.
Yeah, it's in every second count. No, it's not. That was the year before that. Yeah,
2008.
It's 2009.
Oh,
where they got the sandbag and they had to sprint up the hill and it was like 2 minutes. It's like maybe a minute and a half, 2 minute long.
Yeah.
And everyone to this day will say that was one of the hardest events they've ever done, mainly because it was like a true all out, just completely get wiped test. Like you got a sandbag and you just ran up the hill as hard as you could, and people at the end of it were like, you know, there's like no limiter or anything like that. Yeah. So they all say it's like the worst one.
Is that the one that Miko Salo won that one?
Yeah, that's the year Miko won.
Yeah.
Yep.
So our first, that's kind of where we, wasn't your first competition, but it was my first competition, is where we first met, and that's where we ran into somebody kind of familiar now, Rich Froning. He was there.
Mm-hmm.
And just that was back when they didn't have the open, they had sectionals. So that was our first qualifier for regionals. And you had,
no, go ahead.
So you had the sectionals. So everybody just paid to go to this first event, and everybody's sectionals were different. So mm-hmm. CrossFit didn't standardize the qualifying process, so everybody's workouts were different. And I remember ours was just like outside in the soccer field. Mm-hmm. In the last event, we're doing 95-pound snatches, and the bar's like this far off the ground because
like
the plates are so far deep into the ground.
Well, it's interesting you said that. You said you paid to go there. You didn't have to do it.
Oh,
you didn't have to qualify.
Yeah.
You just paid. You just paid
just
money. Like, hey, I'm gonna do this do this workout.
I still regret not paying to go to the games in 2007 because I could have always said I've been to the CrossFit Games.
Yeah.
And now only you can.
In 08 it was open entry too. Yeah. 2009 is when they had the first regional.
Yeah.
And that was before sectional. So in 2009 they had the first regional. You just basically picked where you lived and you went to it. And I remember I went to Ohio, and it was actually at Rogue's headquarters, and they had the events there. And I remember like Graham Holmberg was there. Like there were a
bunch. What year was that?
2009. Yeah, it was the first year they had qualifying. 2010 is the year with sectionals.
Cool. Sorry, go ahead with your story.
Anyways, my competition experience with that was absolutely terrible. It was the first time I ever competed. I'd only been CrossFitting for like 4 or 5 months before that. I just graduated college, and this was like, I was like done, and I was like, cool, I'm going to go do this CrossFit thing now. And I'm going to go to the games. I'm going. Yeah. I couldn't do double unders yet, but I'm going. Luckily, they didn't have double unders. Anyways, I think my first night before the night before the competition, I didn't sleep. I slept like, all right, maybe I slept 12 minutes. in the hotel, I couldn't fall asleep. There was like a basketball team having like a party next to me. So what do you do when you can't sleep? You drink half a bottle of NyQuil. Hell yeah. Get some sleep. When the NyQuil doesn't work, you're screwed. Next morning, I do the first workout, and I got so sick. They had to, like, ask me, sir, we have to bring the next heat out. You have to move. And I was just like, you can walk. You can start without me. I'm not moving. Like, I was just destroyed. It was a terrible experience, but, you know, it was almost necessary.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the training differences from back then. I feel like now – well, at least back then, training was not as sophisticated as it is as is now. Now, you've got all these people in the field that they have come up with.
Everybody's got good techniques.
Technique is something that's way better now than when I first started CrossFit.
I mean, just bringing up that competition, that was when Drew Shamlin came in second at that sectionals.
Yeah.
Or second or third. And literally, he was trying to figure out how to squat snatch 95 pounds before
the
event.
Warm-up.
And he still couldn't do it. He just got it overhead and then would overhead squat it. And he still came in second on that workout.
Well, I think there was somebody had said, I can't remember somebody recently, but the days of where CrossFitters lifted shitty weightlifting are over.
Yeah.
It's over. Nope. You have CrossFitters.
You can't even be mediocre and do that.
No, you have CrossFitters that are lifting
as good. You're talking about competitors.
Just as good as regular Olympic weightlifters. And I can't remember who it was, but they just went on like a tirade on YouTube and they were talking about this, and it was before this transition happened, but he was saying that this is how it's going to be. It's going to get progressed to where weightlifting is going, people are going to get better, and you're going to get called out, and people are going to call you out on your shit if you're teaching bad technique and not keeping on top of, you know, good practices.
Yeah, I think Mike Bergner like spearheaded that. I mean, he's the one that stuck with the CrossFit community and like teaching that discipline and bringing it to life.
I love how much exposure is brought to the sport, you know, like
the sport of weightlifting.
I don't know numbers or anything, but I know now that more people do that. Like, look at the American Open this last year, how packed it was.
People there.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
You know,
over
like so many
had
people
to bump
love
all the totals.
Now.
Yeah, mostly people from CrossFit were at the American Open, and there was almost over 1,000.
USAW's membership tripled in the past few years, legitimately. So, but even before the whole like weightlifting thing, like snatch, clean, and jerk, like when I started, I mean, nobody gave much of a shit about either one of those. Mm-hmm. It was like powerlifting everything.
Yeah.
And, but the funny thing is, man, I was so into the whole like Metcon stuff. I remember the CrossFit Journal published this thing called CrossFit with a strength bias, pretty much.
And people are like, oh.
Yeah. Well, no.
Strength work.
I looked at it and was like, meh.
Here you go.
Thank you.
Refill. That's pretty funny. Yeah, you want to talk about the evolution of training. Remember when it started where it was just like, if you go back and you want to do something cool, go back and look at the original main site workouts.
Yeah.
It's like really simple, you know. Like most gyms now kind of follow the same format. So like from what I've seen, whereas back then it was like Metcon. Next day, a lift.
Yep.
Yeah. Next day, a Metcon. Next day, a Metcon. It just depends. It was like one or the other.
Intervals.
Now it's like, or maybe some intervals, but now it's like it's always strength work and a Metcon. And that's like the difference you see there now. So,
well, Mike Rutherford, throwing about an OG name out there. Mike Rutherford is the guy that came out with the black box method, which was the strength work and the conditioning. He was another one of those guys that was at the Black Box Summit that year.
Very cool. And then, you know, as well as like how people would test back then too. So back then it was all about the benchmarks.
Yeah, all
about
the girls.
Every gym you went into, and I love when I go into gyms now that still have the board up with all the girls listed and all the benchmarks, and you got all the clients' names. Man, that was so fun.
But I don't see a lot of places doing them. They don't. I feel like a lot of, at least in Faction, I rarely see benchmarks. And it was one of those things where they started. Yeah, we'll do benchmark Fridays.
Yeah.
But I don't see a whole lot of
testing. I know. You don't see it as much anymore. It's more focused on the open now. So, like, that kind of is the new benchmark, I
guess. That's true.
But, man, I used to love that. You walk in, you see the names. I'd be like, I beat that, too.
The hype. The hype is still around those workouts, though. If you do throw those out in the class, it makes your gym manager so much better.
People take them more serious for some reason, you know? Like,
I remember
if it's got a name.
You remember the first time somebody went sub 3 on Fran?
I don't remember who it was, but
I just remember. Yeah, it was like a big deal. Like, oh my gosh,
it's
possible to go sub 3. Yeah. Now it's like,
that's every day.
Now there's multiple guys going sub 2. It's insane.
Yeah. Yep.
And now, I mean, now, like you said, the benchmarks are the open wad. So you got, oh man, I wonder if they're going to pull.
You remember when the butterfly kip was invented because of Fran?
Man, that's insane. People are like, what is that flailing thing? It doesn't matter. It's cool.
Yeah.
I go faster.
It works.
Yeah. And, you know, like, even more talking about education with, like, technique and weightlifting, you saw, like, the introduction of other training principles that mm-hmm. became more mainstream, like mobility,
yeah.
you know, more people
well,
doing
Kelly
yoga
Starrett
now.
Came in the game.
You know, yeah. It's, yeah, exactly. Like Kelly Starrett brought a lot to the community. And it's great because it just made – it seems like everyone just became more open-minded. Mm-hmm. It went from, like, no bro sesh to yes bro sesh. Like,
yeah.
like all that – everything's kind of okay now again, whereas for a while it was like
– yeah, that'll
lead us
fit
in this box, like, we yeah. kind of like, ah, you know. Yeah. But mm-hmm. Everyone's embracing that stuff yeah. now. And they're just being more open-minded.
And especially about nutrition, man. Like, when I first started CrossFit, it
oh,
was
man.
All paleo.
All
paleo. Yeah. Like, if you ate bread, you went out with a bunch of CrossFit friends,
yeah.
they would shame
Scalding.
You.
Yeah.
yeah, they would shame you to putting that piece
shame.
Of fuck, like, yeah, yeah, like Game of Thrones shame. Fucking shame your ass. Put that bread down. You were drinking, what was that, NorCal margaritas because you didn't.
Yeah.
Okay.
yeah.
yeah. Paleo. Yeah,
that's
like,
legit.
Like, you didn't want to drink beer because it had grains
Dude,
in
I'm,
it.
I'm talking before that. I started my first diet was the Zone diet,
yeah. Yeah.
and still a lot of people still use that. But that was like basically what taught me like macro nutrients.
Yeah. Yeah.
And people now like. You know, it's funny seeing like Zone and went from paleo and now it's like donuts.
Yeah.
donuts and Pop-Tarts are where it's at.
I feel like
now.
We've regressed.
Yeah, like we went from like kind of strict to like Zone's like not strict on food quality to paleo. It's like I'm only eating like twigs
well,
and stems.
I think
and now it's like I don't care, I'm fueling my performance.
Yeah, I mean I think a lot of that still because okay, think about this. People want to be competitive.
Mm-hmm.
Back then, you didn't have to do 3 Metcons a day
yeah,
to get to the next level.
Games was
right.
3 workouts.
So yeah. now people are, if you're getting to that higher next level, you've got to eat like an athlete, which means, you know, you're going to have to, the paleo model is probably not going to be
yeah.
the best thing for you.
Yeah.
So.
I remember I always looked up to, like, Pat Sherwood. He was really good about that, like, showing what he ate. And so, like, we don't copy
Chronicles.
That. Yeah, the Zone Chronicles.
Oh,
yeah.
I learned a lot from those,
Or
man.
Secrets of the Tupperware Man, which is an old-school journal article.
Pat Sherwood is the OG. We got to get him on the show.
I love that guy. He was
sure.
always, like, the dude you could relate to, kind of.
Yeah.
And he was always eating deli turkey, strawberries, and, like, a little mayonnaise.
Yep.
Like,
oh, my gosh.
For fat. And I would use canola mayo and, like... Yeah, yeah. I was always eating the deli turkey.
I remember that. When I started Zone Diet in college, I'd go to Kroger and be like, actually, when you cut the deli meat for me, could you put it in 4-ounce bags? And she would be like, I'd be like, please?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you made it, you know, that, and I'd count my almonds,
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And you were such a –
you get
were,
three.
You were such a paleo Nazi about that, too. Because and then all you had to tell all your friends that you were eating paleo. And they always make that joke,
yeah.
like, you know when a CrossFitter or somebody who does paleo comes in the room because they tell you about it, right, like,
yep.
instantly.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah, it's an aura. It's like you're pregnant.
Yeah. You got to spread that gospel. You got to drink the Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
I remember one time some of my friends, like – now it's more mainstream. People, you know, oh, okay. Like some of my friends who were talking shit back in the day for me doing CrossFit and now doing CrossFit. And I remember they were talking so much shit. I put this little picture on Facebook of the Kool-Aid man. And it was like CrossFit. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So funny. Drinking that Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
I think talking about kind of getting away from the benchmarks and getting away from, you know, what CrossFit was and being a little bit more open-minded. And maybe this is just me, but I feel like there's going to be a little bit of a movement back to those basics. I think Pat Sherwood is doing a little bit of a push towards this too to bring him up again, but like I've been reading through the old CrossFit Journal articles from like 2001, and like the What Is Fitness article or the What Is CrossFit article,
mm-hmm.
and those things are solid. They got
They're
some
still
really
killer.
Good principles
yeah.
in there, some
mm-hmm.
really good just basic training principles.
Yeah.
Like I said, the I was looking through the other day and it was talking about a muscle up and it was saying you should have 15 strict pull ups and
yeah.
strict ring dips before you even try a muscle up.
Yeah,
like who does that anymore?
I know. Yeah,
and I love too how
mastering the basics.
Yeah, I love too how CrossFit has garnered like ushered in this like strength revolution. Like it's
mm-hmm.
it's you got to be strong. You want to be strong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being strong is cool.
Yep.
And especially for you know we talked about this earlier, but especially for women now.
Yeah.
You know, women. That's what women want to do. Strong. Like, mm-hmm. Be strong now.
Yeah, yeah, it made it okay to for a woman to have muscles and be strong
yeah, yeah.
and, like, want to be athletes. And, I mean, they always wouldn't want to be athletes, but
right.
definitely more mainstream and accepted.
Yeah. yeah.
And that's a really positive thing.
That was a huge thing. Like, for women just to be strong instead of just – I mean, women, they can do whatever they want, but not being, oh, well, you just look like a man. Get that shit out of here, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah I think that's gone now.
Yeah.
The original Nasty Girls video is what made that happen.
Yeah, man.
Still good.
For real.
Girls doing muscle-ups, and guys are like, dang, I can't
yeah.
do that.
You talk about the music, too, going back, like, Like, you go listen to those old videos, and it doesn't even make sense. Like, it's like a WAD demo video, and it's just like...
and it's like strict press, one rep.
Yeah, it's a strict press demo video. It's just like screaming death metal.
Box
like,
jumps, yeah. Tutorial, just pure death
now,
metal.
Now you have a bunch of just ratchet music, EDM, and...
Yeah, 80% like, Skrillex. Yeah, like,
pretty much you go to Ultra Music Fest. Like, Wadapalooza, I mean, yeah. I feel that was like an EDM festival.
The music has changed. Yeah.
I like where it's gone, though, man. It's a lot of fun, and I love that more people are doing it. And, you know, the big picture, you've got a lot of people now exercising that never used to.
Yeah.
Like, regardless of what methods or who's teaching it or what's right or wrong, like, the big picture is more people are exercising now than they ever have been, and that's freaking awesome.
It's brought community to fitness.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas that wasn't really there before. Now it's brought this group fitness movement, which is – you know, CrossFit, whether it's CrossFit or not, it's brought that awareness and that ability to do group training and still get great results and have fun doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want to talk about where we think it's heading, though. So, like, we can be creative with this. Like let's say, like, a couple of years from now, and then we could also compare, like, 10 years from now. Talk about training and then, like, what competition from 10 years might look like. Because, I mean, we've seen some crazy developments over the last couple of years. Looking at the numbers from the 2009 games, the best snatch was, like, 245, I think.
Yeah, something like that. Like, I don't even know if it was that
what?
Much.
That's like the average to go to regionals now almost.
Oh, that's below average.
Yeah, it's crazy. So, like, where's it going to be in 10 years from now? You're going to have everyone that's at the games going to be a nationally ranked lifter? Like, probably pretty close.
Yeah.
I mean, from looking at the trends, I mean, I'm not a, you know, I'm always like a kind of a data person. So, looking at the trends, the weights are getting heavier. Mm-hmm. The weights are getting heavier. Look at the last open, 16.5, or I mean, 16.4. It was a 225-pound deadlift for 55 reps.
Yeah.
A few years ago, it would have been like, what, 185?
Yeah.
You know, that would have been heavy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They had a games workout in 2009-ish that was 5 deadlifts, 10 burpees.
Yep.
And it was 275.
Yep, 5.
And everybody was like, 275?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
What? Where are you supposed to pick that up?
That'd be 4 or 5 now easily.
Yeah.
So the weights are getting heavier, which – I continue because people are getting stronger. I think who does the Box Life mag? They put out an infographic pretty much every year.
I love those.
Yeah, they're great. Looking at the increase in strength and even conditioning you know, for the top athletes in regionals, and each year is like 4% increase on their squat and on their snatch, clean and jerk.
It's like Froning doing Isabel with 225 snatch.
Mm-hmm. Like, so the competition is always getting stronger. It's always getting better. So that they're gonna test that limit of fitness and test those limits. It's just gonna get harder and heavier.
And the crazy thing is that, and I don't think there's enough publicity on it, but the teens that are doing it now, you know, have the team division.
Oh, man.
Some of those kids, got boys and girls, are just they're already snatching those kind of weights.
Yeah.
And those
weights.
They're 16 years old.
What was
the
teen's name? That was went head-to-head against the Masters athlete, Sean Ramirez.
Nick Palomino.
Yeah, man, that dude's a beast.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Yeah. Huge stud. Yeah. And so think about it this way, man. Every time our friends have kids or something like that, you see these kids, like these babies, they're in the gym.
Yeah.
Imagine growing up and, like, witnessing, like, legit awesome fitness all and just where they're going to be.
Yeah. I mean, like, we have a plastic barbell for my 2.5-year-old son. Like,
so cool.
And that's normal and for CrossFit people. Yeah. They have those in the gym.
Well, like, not even talking about the future of CrossFit, but you know, from the future of weightlifting, I think from
all
U.S. American weightlifting, I think CrossFit is going to be huge.
Mm-hmm.
You have way more kids getting exposed. And CrossFit, especially if they're doing CrossFit, a lot of it's just GPP. So, you know, that's important for a young athlete to just do that, and then they start getting into more specialized stuff. So I think weightlifting is going to be huge in the future.
It gives us a bigger pool to choose from, whereas before, nobody knew what weightlifting was.
Yeah. So I'd say
people with genetics built for it may have not even ever tried it.
I wouldn't be surprised.
So they would have missed it.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if weightlifting in the future becomes a mainstream, like something you see on TV, like
school sport.
Yeah, or a high school sport. Like, it's just something that is grown so big, or even CrossFit maybe that has grown so big now that it is.
People
are doing
it. High school sport.
Yeah.
Awesome. Any and all strength sports. I mean, I think that's one of the beauties of CrossFit is you come in and you maybe find this avenue that you love and you chase it, even though your core is at CrossFit.
Well, look at GRID.
I like, it brought up, more fitness sports like GRID. I like, too, the idea that, you know, maybe you see start, like, for me, like, my idea of a future of this would be to see more functional stuff like that, or when I say functional, I mean like more sports, gymnastics, things like that involved mm-hmm. in like parks, like recreational areas, like more pull-up bars, more rings, more yeah. ropes, more just fun
going
stuff
back
like that.
To what it used to be.
Yeah, like the simple basic stuff, but making that cool again and really bringing yeah. it out. And like we're like in schools, you know, like all yeah. the kids, like I don't know where it's heading. I hope it's not going worse where, yeah. you know, like PE's canceled and stuff, but yeah. like, you know.
Yeah,
like
when my dad did gym, my dad was in PE, they had the peg boards, they had ropes and they yeah. had all that yeah. stuff. And now it's like a lawsuit waiting to happen.
I yeah. believe there are some private schools and stuff that do yeah that do teach CrossFit
yeah.
in them.
Yeah, that's pretty yeah. cool. Yeah. Where do you see competition going? Let's say 10 years from now, what's something crazy that you can imagine that you might see? Like,
I think everybody who competes on any kind of level, as far as the actual CrossFit Games, I think anybody will be a full sponsored athlete.
Yeah,
meaning they don't do anything else other than
yeah,
compete,
that's a living.
Which is only a handful of people right now.
Yeah, it's getting there.
It's getting there quickly.
It's getting tough to have a job, like a yeah. full-time job, and still go to regionals.
Yeah, but now it's to the point where, like, you got to make it there, and then you'll get sponsored. Whereas yeah. I think there'll be ways to funnel people into that and mm-hmm. say, like, this is your job, and now we're going to get you there.
What about performance? Are we going to see someone clean 400 pounds and run a sub five-minute mile?
Yeah.
It's on the way.
Yeah.
I think we'll see somebody fly.
I think I want to see. I say 10 years. I'm going to call it and say I think we'll see a lot of people doing that, especially yep. games athletes.
Yep, for sure.
Do you think CrossFit will ever become maybe an Olympic sport, like where it take the next level?
I don't think so because that's kind of not what CrossFit is. Yeah. You know, it's about
you would have to standardize it. I feel like.
Yeah. You know, like
unless if we're talking maybe unrealistic, but unless we got to the point where CrossFit was so big. Mm-hmm. That they were like, no, y'all can come into the Olympic sport and mm-hmm. y'all can still run it how you want to run it. Like, it can still be unknown and unknowable.
Yeah. That'd be badass.
Man, think about this, though. Mm-hmm. Like, from where we all came from, it was none of us, like, came from a gym. You couldn't find a gym.
Yeah.
There
was not a gym.
Everybody worked out in their garage or something. To now, you get to, like, you have the choice to pick a gym almost anywhere yep. you live. Like, that's mm-hmm. so big, man. It's just grown so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about, yeah, so away from competition, where do you see, like, CrossFit training, general fitness going in 10 years, where do you think we'll be? As a gym owner.
Oh, man, I don't know. I think that that's going to be, like we talked about earlier, being more rounded. I think it'll be this funnel and this hub for, you know, getting people in the door with this CrossFit movement. Yeah. And then it has avenues right there in the door, whether you want to do weightlifting, whether you want to do Ironman training, whether you want to do strongman training. It's one big, you know, facility that has all this stuff. Also, I think a unique thing that's brought into, which is kind of going that different route, though, is trainers, raising the level of trainers and partnering with PTs and chiros and doctors and things like that. That wasn't common before.
Yeah.
So now we have this one big facility, which is kind of my dream vision of this one huge facility that trains all these different sports, including CrossFit. And we have a chiro on staff, and we have a PT on staff, and a doctor on staff, and all these things that just raises the level of health all around.
One thing I think that's going to be interesting to see, and you remember the thing in Auburn where you kind of went back and forth with
I got into an argument.
Yeah, you went back and forth.
It was an argument.
We can't bring that up.
Yeah. So what McElroy, he was I can't remember exactly, but. Basically, they were teaching what's in the textbook right now. What is the accepted theories when it comes to energy system training?
Yep.
And I think in 10 years, a lot of that will possibly be rewritten because research always lags behind what's actually being put into place and what people are seeing now. Mm-hmm. It's just not a whole lot of research that's going on with what the CrossFit style training, energy system training that is being implemented right now by experts whose opinion matters, but it's not backed up by a large pool of data and sample sizes. So mm-hmm. I think in 10 years, we're going to have a whole new perspective on how to train and energy systems, and that you can train mm-hmm. an aerobic energy system maybe and get really fucking strong at the same time.
Yeah, I think that's one of the biggest things that CrossFit brought into it is this different way of training energy systems.
Yeah.
And not only is it still relatively new as far as, scientific studies and stuff, but it's really hard to test too. Because if you're testing somebody with a EKG or something on a bike, you're hooked up to a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
You can't, it's hard to do that with box jumps.
It's very controlled, right?
Yeah, it's hard to do that with, and you got random thrusters. I mean, random movement. So one test with thrusters and box jumps may be different than burpees and pull-ups, or, you know, so it's just hard to test. So I think over the next 10 years, we'll get better at testing those things.
Yeah, because there's so much creativity that goes on with CrossFit programming. Yeah, it can be hard, but I think that people will start paying more attention and it will start getting studied. And I think the strength and conditioning community
when you start winning American Opens,
I
mean, you have to start paying attention.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, when you have CrossFitters who are winning and going to international competitions,
you got to start paying attention.
Yeah,
interesting. Cool. Good points, guys. Anything else you want to add? We talked about, you know, where we came from with the sport and
so when we were competing in that first sectionals, Drew Shamblin, I mentioned him earlier. This is how it didn't matter what you were doing. His shoe fell off in the first event.
Oh, yeah. He was wearing pants, too.
He was wearing pants, and his pants ripped doing wall balls. It was old school that it didn't matter.
Drew is still good.
Oh, he's incredible.
He's really good.
Yeah, he's incredible.
He won an open workout one year, or I think second or something.
Yeah. No, he's really good, but that's like people just didn't care. Like, he was just that guy that, like, just – got out there and just did it and beat everybody.
Yeah.
And, like, it didn't look like you didn't do this big, long, elaborate warm-up. You didn't have all this equipment. You didn't have all
this stuff. Oh, he got off work.
You weren't covered in rock
tape. Just went and did it.
Yeah, no voodoo bands, nothing.
Well, it's just sophistication.
Yeah.
Back then, it was underground. It was raw. It was dirty. Like, the dirtier you can get and the more hardcore you can be, that was badass. But now, because it's becoming more mainstream and now athletic performance, and I mean, you get paid. What was the purse on the CrossFit Games this past year? What would the winner get?
250.
I don't know what the purse was, but the first prize was $250,000.
Yeah, $250,000. When what was the first?
2010.
It was like what?
2010 was $25,000.
2007.
Exactly. No, 2011.
2007. Yeah. It was a $100 bill. The Glassman.
It was 500 in 2008. Cash money.
So now it's becoming a professional, almost a professional sport. Yeah. So now you have to be professional. You have to your methods have to be.
Everything matters.
Everything matters. You have to get that little edge.
I once broke my toe doing toes to bar on a Smith machine. What's up?
No way.
Yeah, I put it on the tallest one because there was only one pull-up bar where I started, and then there was a Smith machine up. Shmish machine. I put it on the top hook. I'm like, I'm 5'4". Screw it. My second toe's like, oh, and it's because I was wearing five fingers. Oh, gee.
Yeah, competitions just, I feel the competitions have gotten a lot more sophisticated. Everything just gotten more sophisticated.
You did.
Oh, yeah. You did.
I came in third.
I'm not telling that story.
Yeah, you got to tell
it. All
right,
now. So the first workout, it was
he might hear this.
We were sitting on the ground. We had to start sitting on the ground in the grass field.
I got video of that.
On a soccer field. Huh?
What year?
2010.
2010 in Huntsville, Alabama. Russell Berger. That's a good story.
All right.
I just thought of another one. So
I'll deal that
one. The first event, we're sitting on the ground to start, and they say 3, 2, 1, go. It's a 3 rounds for time. It's a like 25 yards down and back.
Yeah.
So you run down and back 25 yards. 7 power cleans with 155, which was heavy, and then 10 burpees.
Yep.
3 rounds for time, and it was short. It was like 2.5 minutes.
It hurt.
Yeah, it was fast.
I threw up.
So they tied, and I think Mike claims that he won.
Man,
him and
Rich Froning.
Who's they?
Rich Froning. This guy. He won the event, but I don't remember him beating me in it. I tried to dispute. They didn't know what I was talking about.
I came in third on that event, so I was behind both of them. But and then later on, we're about to do 5 rounds for time, run 400 meters, 25 pull-ups.
Oh, man. Yeah, the Russell Berger, the guy who was running the competition, he jumps up to demo a pull-up.
It's like 145 pounds.
Yeah, he's a little dude. Freak athlete. He was like – back then, he was like games athlete.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He got to buy past sectionals.
Yeah. We'll get to that too. So, anyways, he jumps up to demo a pull-up on the bar, and the bar – the welds break and the bar just falls off.
It wasn't welds, it was 4x4s.
Well, it was like metal.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah.
Screwed
like,
in.
He jumps, he full commitment jumps. He's like, you're going to start like this. Whoa, boom. And everybody's like, I ain't doing pull ups on that.
So we were all on this like six by six square.
They had two rigs. They didn't use that one, so we had to use the other one. It's completely dark out. Everybody's like running in circles. We don't know where the track is and doing pull-ups at night. Yeah. It was crazy. But back then it was like – that was like accepted.
Yeah.
You know, like now if that happened at regionals, you know, like people would be going ape shit.
Yeah.
But back then it was like normal.
We didn't think twice about it. We're like, oh,
yeah.
Still
yeah, so what I was saying was like back then, like if you went to the games – you were automatically qualified the next year to go to regionals. And if you won the games, I don't know how many people know this or not, if you're pretty new to CrossFit, like the sport, if you won the games a couple of years ago, you had a free pass to go back to the games.
Originally, if you won the games, you had a lifetime pass.
Yeah.
They stripped that.
And yeah. then they did the next year you were bypassed to the games, and then they took that away.
That'd be crazy. I can't imagine. I can't imagine like going like in 2007 or something or 8 and being like, oh, I'm going to redeem my lifetime pass this year. Actually, you know what? I took a few years off. I think I'm good now. And you got to keep up.
I'm going to redeem my pass, my golden ticket.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, it's crazy how much has changed, and it's been fun. And it's been a cool ride. I can't wait to see where it goes.
Still, going back and looking at that Every Second Counts video and watching how they did that games, that was one of the coolest endings still, I think, because of how they did it, where every event was timed. So the last event was Gray squat cleans with 155, so 30 clean and jerks with 155. And everybody started in a partitioned start so that whoever won the last event won. Mm-hmm. Because every event was timed, so the times were accumulated.
Right.
And
so
the first person, the guy who was in first, started however many seconds ahead of the second place he was, and so forth, so that whoever finished first in that event won. And like everybody's focused on Spieler versus Josh Everett.
Oh,
it's those
yeah,
two going
that.
Back and forth. And then all of a sudden, Kalipa finishes in the corner, and nobody catches
this
it on camera.
Big hairy bear in the corner. Everybody's like, who's that dude? I wasn't even watching him.
He just won.
I remember in that video, Dave Castro said he was back there in the warm-up area, and he's like, Are you lost?
He was in the wrong area.
That's funny.
Yeah. Now Kalipa's like,
yeah.
That's cool. That's cool, you know, because he's impressive because he won so many years ago, and he's continued to stay at the top, you know, almost every year since.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Cool.
Anything else you guys want to add?
Go watch that video.
It was a fun trip down memory lane, for sure.
Cool.
We're old.
All right. Well, thanks for coming along. Awesome. Thanks for listening, guys.